We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys? Layla Rahimi.
From a baseball standpoint, yeah, it was clutch, right? And given the storyline behind it, it was everything you wanted to see. Jimenez was excited about being at Wrigley. He had been there once before when he was the Cubs minor league player of the year. And as he told our Chuck Garfine in the car, and I guess Chuck has to do that again today now, is that it did mean something to him. It was a dramatic storytelling when he said he got traded from one side of town to the other. So if you're going by storylines and a clutch moment at the right time, that's up there.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We had a lot of baseball to talk in the first hour of the show. We've got Taylor Davis, the Iowa Cubs catcher and great baseball talker, really good guy, friend of the show, going to join us at 10:20, midday midway at 10:40. Len Casper, TV voice of the Cubs at 11. Sam Vecenie right after that, Game Theory podcast. The brilliant basketball mind will preview the draft and let us know what he thinks the options are, the likelihoods are. For the Bulls, currently sitting at 7, so Sam will join us at 11:20, and we've got giveaways. We have a pair of tickets to see our Wilson Contreras and Albert Almora Jr. at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern for our Cubs on Deck series presented by TimberTech and Xfinity. You got to be listening if you want to win that opportunity. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR. The Score. Email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? Please do so, 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Yeah, if they just picked Zion already.
Then you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We've got our video feed that's directed by Brian Gertz. That is at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. The producers are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the man in the back, the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz. Strange night at Wrigley Field last night because of the weather. You didn't expect the ball to be flying out of there the way it was.
Not so much.
Nobody seemed to expect it quite going like that, but there it was. And that strike zone sucked.
Oh, yeah. That's all over the place, moving everywhere. Giolito had Bryant punched out two or three more times than he actually punched out. Mm-hmm. It's just a weird thing. But those are the kind of things you have to fight with. I thought Giolito was fine and then made two or three pitches that got absolutely drilled. I find it hilarious, though, that we're having this conversation that some are pointing, Lucas Giolito might have lost his start in the All-Star game. Is Lucas going to come back from this? Lucas Giolito just spent an entire year in baseball hell being one of the worst full-time starters in Major League Baseball. If he's learned how to do anything, it's bounce back from being shelled. Good for the Cubs to lift a couple of homers and for Wilson Contreras to pummel that baseball. Nice to see him in the lineup. But this is the thing Lucas learned to do. Bounce back from being absolutely torched in a ball game. That's where he was last night. I'm sure 5 days from now he'll bounce back and be Lucas Giolito this year.
Contreras did an outstanding job of keeping his hands back on a changeup. The foot landed. Everything started to come forward, but there was enough left upon pitch recognition to just use his arms and hands to sweep that thing out of the ballpark. But it's remarkable. If you had told me wind blowing in, rain falling, the whatever you want to call it, marine layer or fog, or you're going to use a golf term or a baseball term, whatever, and to see the ball just screaming out of the park like that, I would have said no way.
Yeah, no, he turned that thing around. And Schwarber, too, on his early at-bat with the double into right field, able to turn that pitch around a little bit, too. I mean, there was some hard-hit baseballs. John Lester experienced a little bit of that, some hard-hit baseballs, and there he is after the game again. Talking about a baseball that's not behaving the way he understands it to behave. You can't pitch to the big part of the field, wherever that field is anymore. That's just the way. That's just where we're at.
It doesn't feel like the Cubs should be alone in first place in the NL Central, and yet here they are. They've weathered a really bad stretch, and they have an opportunity against a mediocre pitcher and can't solve him, and then they go and they tap the best pitcher in the AL.
Doesn't that make sense, though? You know, after coming off a season last year where for 40 games, the last 40 games, your offense was broken, that you're going to have the seesaw back and forth kind of thing. I'm convinced the NL Central is still one of the best divisions in baseball. That at least is pretty tough, too. But, you know, you look at the NL Central, and we mentioned for a while it's going to be a one-win kind of division. You know, that maybe 95 wins it and 94 is your second-place team, a lot like last season. Or it was 96, 95 then, I think. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get to the win totals that you want to get to. You just have to get out of the division. And if that's by one game, it's by one game. You got a lot of good teams. Even though the Brewers have struggled some, what have they lost? Three in a row, giving the Cubs a chance to get back on top. It's been kind of a herky-jerky ride. Theo Epstein on with Mully and Haw this morning, talking a bit about the struggles that this team has had offensively. It's the same kind of stuff we've asked all year. You hit a lot of home runs, and you're going to be subject to a little bit of streak. That happens.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the purpose is of this text from the 847 who says, that home run barely made the basket. No, it hit very, very, very hard on the wall behind the basket, then settled into the bed. Just because it ended in the basket doesn't mean it just sort of landed there.
We're going to have the too high, too hard conversation.
Yes.
Right now. We're going to do this. We're going to do Major League.
Yeah, no, that was, it didn't barely make the basket. It ended up in the basket after slamming into the area behind it.
No, I thought, yeah. Cubs Sox for 2 days was pretty
fun.
Damned entertaining,
it was.
Wasn't it?
It was fun. It was a good energy. There's no downside to it. Even if we admit that there's a little bit of edge that wears away over time, that the novelty wears off. Even so, part of it is like what we were talking about with Layla yesterday. We all do our jobs. We all play our roles.
Uh-huh.
And it ends up being a thing. You can't deny that you're feeling a little bit differently than you're going to feel about turning on a game where the Cubs are playing the Mets.
I don't want to watch the Mets.
Right? Nobody wants to watch the Mets.
I don't want to watch the Mets. No, I'd much rather watch the little extra juice that comes with the Cubs-Sox rivalry or series or what have you. And it really is so much more fun when both teams have something to put on the table and play for a little bit. And, you know, think about it this way, too. You may not have gotten, you know, if not for a little bit of circumstance, what if you'd missed the Giolito start? Like, how much more did it mean that you were, or how much more entertaining it was, maybe let's put it that way, how much more entertaining was it that the Sox happened to have a Lucas Giolito start right there in the two games that you play against the Cubs? That worked out perfectly for everybody watching.
This segment's brought to you by Comcast Business. Every day, Comcast Business is helping businesses big and small go beyond the expected to do the extraordinary, because beyond a simple transaction, there's making a customer for life. Comcast Business Beyond Fast. Take your business beyond at comcastbusiness.com. After an update, what should we call this? We're going to take you to the world of Belton Bill Melton.
It's a little different than ours.
Yes, it's an odd world where different things happen in ball games.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a pretty good ball game, really. When you look, if you take away that grand slam, it would have been a pretty good ball game. If it wasn't for the grand slam, you did a pretty good job. I think we're kind of in the game until that grand slam.
It was in the first inning.
Well, are we sure about that? Are we sure that's when it happened?
So if you take the grand slam away,
yep,
it was fine.
Okay.
And they were in the game. Everything was going fine.
Just until that grand slam.
Until the grand slam. Because you have the double, the walk.
Yeah.
Everything's still fine. Then the grand slam. So they were in the game.
Right up until that grand.
All the way up until that grand slam. And then
the White Sox, I think we're kind of in the game until that grand slam.
Just right there. Remember, though, Leury Garcia homered on that first pitch. 1-0 White Sox to start the game.
More than in the game.
So they're on top when the things began. So maybe, you know, if that grand slam gets shifted a couple of innings later or something. I love Bill Melton. One of my favorite things working down there at Guaranteed Rate Field was the two, maybe three times a year, you'd be in the booth. Game would be going on. Melton would walk in, and you'd know he'd walk in because of how he just kind of announced himself in the booth, and then he'd start talking about the ball game in front of him and some ball game from 30. It's the talking baseball with Bill Melton is the greatest thing. It just is.
It always reminds me of when after a Bears-Packers game, I'd be talking with Dave Wannstedt, and he'd be saying, "Oh, Burnsy, you know, if you just take away the big plays, if we could if you look at it without." Without the big plays, we're right in it. Like, but that's football. They have Brett Favre. Brett Favre makes big plays. I know, but if you're right. Forget that for a second. If you take away the big plays, we're right there.
There's this aspect of that mindset where like Brett Favre wasn't trying to make those big plays.
They're just things that happen.
It just happened to happen.
Right.
Like Wilson Contreras wasn't trying to hit that grand slam. It just happened that way. You know, just weird things coalesced over the baseball field, and all of a sudden, there's your grand slam, and Lucas didn't mean to give it up. By the way, Lucas Giolito, after the game, all the stuff that he said about, you know, it's a blip. It's something I got to fix. I know what's wrong in the mechanics. I know what's wrong in the delivery. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, it's none of this moment stuff. He didn't let any of the questions ask him. Not saying that the questions were bad about whether or not it was too big a moment for him or whether or not the issues. Nah, none of that. Give it no purchase. Give it no credence. I got things to figure out. I'm going to be fine. I know where this needs to get fixed. It's like I'm talking about, man. Lucas spent an entire year getting waxed by the American League and the National League when he faced him last season. He knows what it is to bounce back. He's got one of the biggest year-to-year splits in ERA from last year, 6 and change, to this year, 2.22 coming into this, in baseball's history for a qualified starter. The guy knows what it is to fix himself. He spent an entire offseason doing it. I find it, we talked about this with Layla yesterday too, that's one of the most fascinating things to come out of the White Sox season in 2019. It's incredible.
We're also understanding better the control that pitchers have over what they do. With the knowledge that they have, with the statistics, with the data that they have. When it used to be, a pitcher would say something like, yeah, you know, I left this up, or I thought this was this. Now they actually know that there's somebody as smart as Giolito can say, oh, the spin rate was wrong because I released it this way to this guy in this spot. And it's not – the point being, it isn't just empty words anymore because pitchers control so much.
Nor is it and not to take a shot or anything really, but nor is it TWTW. It's not just a guy that's willing to go do the work and try something. It's not pointing out every failed prospect and saying, well – clearly, this guy just didn't care enough to get in front of a Kinetrax or get in front of a Rapsodo or go to Driveline, fist bump, Red Bull Crush, which you'd be good at, by the way, apparently. Yeah, should that be your next challenge, chugging a Red Bull?
Nah.
Are you all right after chugging that beer yesterday?
Yeah, it was a single beer. However, the double cheeseburger, different story.
That was the real interesting part because we hung around the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern for a little while because they had dropped off all of that amazing food. I was surprised to see you housing as much food
as you
did. I was
really hungry. I think chugging the beer made me hungry.
Yeah, it'll light the fire. You know, it'll get you going. I was worried. I'll say this. I bow to your beer-chugging abilities. It was impressive. What you were able to put together after 30 years of not attempting a chugged beer, well done. Top notch. I took a big L. That's fine. Your face afterward looked like you wanted to die.
No, I was fine.
And I'm just, were you holding it together?
I needed a couple seconds to let everything, you know, get where it had to go.
It was like
the pieces fall back into place.
It looked like you were rethinking the last 30 years, going, huh, could have gone another 30 without doing that. Did not need to handle that.
Had to do it. Did it. He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We are talking about these two games between the Cubs and the Sox and the Cubs' performance last night, the performance of a very odd baseball. But I want to remind you, the NBA draft is tonight, and even though there will be a Cubs game, that does not mean that you're going to miss out on wall-to-wall Bulls draft coverage, because that coverage on The Score is tonight at 670thescore.com via the radio.com app. Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington, Steve Cashel, Cody Westerland, David Schuster, Hub Arkish, Brad Pitt, Antoine Fats Domino, and Tony Gill live from 6 to 10. David Schuster will take over on The Score after the Cubs game is over. So we don't know. Everything's on the table. And more than half the time, what is it? It's at 8 out of 15.
Jackson 8 out of 15.
Has had a draft night transaction of one kind or another, moving up, moving down, moving out. It's all on the table, and we're going to be monitoring all of it, and you will have all of that coverage at 670thescore.com.
That'd be a good night. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to talking with Sam Vecenie, who knows what he's talking about when it comes to the NBA draft as well. Mullinahaw had Theo Epstein on just a little bit earlier this morning, and he talked at length about what Adbert Alzolay, the newest call-up, the newest addition to the Cubs pitching staff, may look like, what the expectations are, and what you can hope to see from the rotation over the next handful of turns through it. We'll get you that and talk about the newest addition to the Cubs pitching staff when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Tyler is not really that stretched out, so it's not fair of us to expect him to go really deep in the game. And Adbert also is somebody, he hasn't got up past, I think, 87 pitches this year as he worked his way back from the injury he suffered in spring training. So splitting this game seemed like a really good solution, especially coming off the off day Monday. We didn't want to slot both guys in the rotation, and all of a sudden you're given starting pitchers the two extra days, which they feel gets them out of the rhythm as opposed to just one extra day.
Theo Epstein on this station earlier today with the Mully and Haw show, talking about the recently promoted Adbert Alzolay, and it does seem like a classic piggyback situation.
Feels that way.
And this is a phenomenon that some teams experimented with, I want to say, 7 or 8 years ago. It was popular in the minor leagues when they were looking at pitch counts and trying to better understand pitch counts, which may all be wrong, by the way.
All of it.
Everything we think we know about pitch counts and how to keep an arm healthy, just understand it might all be wrong. Down to the youth level, up to the major league level, we now, it's terrifying to think that what is considered the right way to do things may be absolutely wrong. But there was a time when teams were, especially in the low levels of the minors, having two starters a game.
Yeah, as far as I understand the arm, and not the book, just kind of like pitching in general, the two things we know are pitching is dangerous and throwing harder is usually more dangerous than not. That's it. Here endeth the lesson.
Except throwing harder may not be more dangerous depending on your particular kinetic chain.
Oh, well, see, I thought we were talking about pitching in general as it pertains to. So we're going to change. You're going to change the entire it's bad to throw real hard.
Yes, well, that's what Trevor Bauer's doing.
Well, we're all screwed then.
That's, I'm
we don't
just
know
saying,
a damn thing about
throwing,
anything.
Is throwing heavy things worse than throwing light things? Or throwing light things worse than throwing lighter things?
Yeah, all that we're changing.
A lot of it. But what do you know about Adbert Alzolay? He's 6 feet tall. He's 179 pounds, so this is not a big hulking guy. He is from Port Ordaz, Venezuela. He's 24 years old. Right-handed pitcher, right-handed hitter.
Yeah, fastball, slider, change kind of guy. He's a pitcher that probably would have been up last season if not for the lat strain. He's had a couple of a real good starts this year, taking some no-hitters into the fifth and sixth inning. Did the same last season. If you talk around, you know, to some scouts and look for some projection, guys like Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo and stuff, they kind of see him as fastball, slider that's definitely going to work as a reliever. you know, that those kind of two pitch mix that could, you know, start working right away out of the bullpen, which would be nice. You've seen the strikeout totals in AAA. He's got something like, you know, 40 or 50 over his last handful. You know, good strikeout numbers, some decent walk numbers in terms of them being lower. And like we've talked about for, I don't know, when did they sign Kimbrel? Four Fridays ago? It's like we've talked about since then. I'd love to see two, three, four more strikeouts out of the bullpen on the regular. How they use him is kind of up to the front office. And if you hear from Theo, like you did this morning on Molly and Haw, you kind of understand that it may be a start or two for him. You know, he could see some action in an expanded rotation, which would help give guys a rest here or there. But once you get down to a playoff run, which is what this Cubs team expects, maybe Alzolay can be an effective right-handed arm for you out of the pen. You know, you shrink down that starter mix. One guy's going to get bumped out of the starting rotation. How valuable is that guy to the rest of the bullpen? How valuable is Adbert Alzolay? Those are both questions I find real interesting over the next 6 weeks.
We also have known that a 35-year-old John Lester could use an extra day here. Even if he doesn't want it, of course. And Kyle Hendricks, who is dealing with a shoulder impingement, even at his younger age, may be able to use a day here or there. It's adding breadcrumbs in the meatloaf is what I always suggest, sort of extend everything a little bit. And we're not really talking that much about Chatwood because we're all intrigued by the new guy, the new shiny new thing showing up in Adbert Alzolay, but it's another opportunity for Chatwood to show some of his value if he can keep that nasty stuff under control.
Well, I mean, you think about where this rotation is, you know, because the Kimbrel move, signing Kimbrel, granted he's in the bullpen, but he matters for the next two seasons because that's what you paid him for. So that kind of money also impacts other decisions that are going to happen down the line. We'll see how much money the Cubs are able to add to the payroll or want to add to the payroll with the new, you know, marquee sports network that comes online next season. That's going to matter to them financially. Cole Hamels is done after this season, at least contractually. I don't know whether he comes back. I don't know if $20 million makes sense for him. I don't know if $20 million makes sense for the Cubs in that rotation. I'd like to see him back. I've seen how important he is. But if John Lester is going to be a guy that, and we talked about this last season, his eight starts out of the All-Star break with the 8 ERA, he is flirting with something like that right now. Granted, the homers last night against the White Sox are ones that, you know, maybe he doesn't think should go out on a regular basis. They did. So now we're looking at seven starts with an ERA right around six for John Lester. Well, how quickly can he fix himself? You know, that's the question we've asked for 2 years now.
Remember, that is with a really forgiving umpire behind the plate, too. He was getting every break.
Cutter away.
Getting
to right-handers.
That was like the old Tom Glavine plate that he was getting there. And you could definitely see it from where we were sitting and watching the dueling strike zones on television.
Oof.
But it is, for those asking right now, what do the peripherals look like? This is who he is. At the moment, his ERA is 4.13. So then what do we look at? We look at fielder-independent pitching and expected fielder-independent pitching. And say, what's that? Well, that's a measure of what a pitcher can control. It's home runs per fly ball. It is walk rate and strikeout rate. It just it strips away everything that isn't on the pitcher himself. And his expected fielder independent pitching tracks with his ERA at 4.22. So it really tells us that we're seeing what we think we're seeing.
My opinion, you need to try and get Victor Caratini some more starts behind home plate.
Yeah.
You need to work him behind home plate a little bit more, and it's not to take Wilson Contreras' bat out of the lineup. You see obviously how impactful that thing is. I just they're crunched a little bit roster wise, and that's okay. That's a problem that Joe Maddon has managed really well pretty much every year since 2015, right? I mean, isn't 2015 the one year in Joe Maddon's tenure where you'd go, all right, you got 9-10 guys, and he's playing 9-10 guys lineup-wise? You balanced the three-catcher thing as best he could. I get it. You know, that's a skill set of his. But when you have, like you mentioned to John Lester, a guy who you need to help around his peripherals a little bit, a better defensive catcher like Victor Caratini is the way to do it. You have to hit Wilson Contreras. And to be honest, getting him 2 days off, big fan of that too. Huge fan. You need that bat because you're going to have to catch him too. But that plate defense, the defense behind the plate matters, and it matters big.
You know who went hard on that? Matthew Trueblood, our friend from Baseball Prospectus, was he had a whole thread on Twitter about Contreras and about framing, and he made a really interesting comp of Contreras to another athlete in Chicago sports history.
Oh.
And it was a cross-sport comparison, trying to explain the importance of a certain skill and what it means when we evaluate somebody overall. Want to get into that? We got people who want to join the conversation at 312-644-6767. And Joe Maddon last night had his most strident comments yet regarding the behavior of this new baseball.
Yeah, he went hard.
We got his thoughts, and then we have the thoughts of Theo Epstein, the president of baseball operations, just from recently on these airwaves. We're going to hear every bit of that in an intense segment of Baseball Conversation coming your way straight ahead. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.